As I listened to it, some of you that have been here since the beginning, it was almost prophetic to me. The thing that he had laid out for Perry Green is almost exactly what has happened for this church. How we even got started. It really encouraged my heart anyways to see a man of God ordain another man and realize that what's happened to me has followed that same line. Because a lot of times when it really, actually all the time I'll say, anytime you do something for God, there's always criticism. There's always, because the devil don't like it. He don't like when we do things for God. If you hear something good, go ahead and say amen this morning, all right? Amen. Amen. The devil don't like the things of God. The things, and when you ever you take a step for the kingdom of God, Satan's there to tell you you're doing the wrong thing.
Sure, that's right.
And you know how you know you're doing when you're doing the right thing is when you don't want to do it. But something in here says, I've got to do this. I've got to stand for the gospel. I've got to do what God has told me. I've got a couple comments. Like I said, I've went through this 4 or 5 times at least. Like I say, first, I don't have a new message to bring. I have to bring what's already been brought. I believe we have an end time message. It's time for the church to get ready to go home in the rapture. We watch the world falling apart. We watch our own governments falling apart. What was supposed to be the greatest nation in the world, it's falling apart. It's only a sign that this is just about done. The church will go home in a rapture, and the chaos will hit the earth. Amen. As we meet in this place, we're not here to necessarily be with one another. Even though I appreciate being with one another, we're here to be with God. We're here to be in the Spirit of God. I expect God to be here every service. We didn't come here as a place to gather. It's a place of worship. Amen. We're here to get any soul that would listen in this city. Anyone, we're not here to isolate ourselves. So we're the only ones, us four walls, and that's it. You're all, everybody else is out. No, sir, we're here to reach out. We're here to find any soul that needs a place to go. We're not here to proselyte either. If you got a good family, we got the Andrews family here. You got a good church body you go to, believes the Bible, believes what the Word of God has brought, you stay there. You be faithful. You go where God has called you to go. We're here to respect one another. We're here to respect these other churches here. What do you think I feel like at times when I see this little place that can't hold 30 people hardly, you know? And right there's, you know, they got the Family Christian Center. There's Zion's Lutheran right over across the road there. And I feel pretty little sometimes. But you know what? If this is what God's called me to do, if all I'm here to do is save 2 souls, that's okay with me. 1 soul. It really doesn't need to be 2. If there's just 1, the Bible said that's worth more than 10,000 worlds. 1 soul. Amen. Doctrinally, I believe what this message has brought. I believe the seals are open. God has brought those to us. We appreciate Brother Branham listening to the leading of the Lord to have those things revealed to us. We know that the Bible said that Christ revealed His Word, but we know that He uses man to do that. He speaks to us through men. Or else, how could Paul have written the New Testament, as Brother Branham said? He was led by the Spirit. He left everything he loved to go write the New Testament.
Amen.
And we appreciate that now. That's what we're living off of. We're living off the message of the Word. Amen. We're here to be led up by the Spirit, to do whatever the Spirit would say, not what any man would say, not even what the pastor says. If the Spirit tells you to do something, you do it. You don't need to call Brother Andrew up and say, hey brother, is this okay? Hey, is it the Word? Did the Spirit tell you to do it? Then you need to do it. You see somebody sick, you want to pray for them, you don't got to call Brother Andrew to make sure it's alright. You go on right away. Go ahead. Pray for that brother. I believe he'll get well. Amen. We've already had healing in this church in a month and a half. Brother Ken had brought a need from a little baby that had undeveloped lungs, and within a week she was already home. Amen. The God that we believe is still alive. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whatever God did in Christ when He walked on earth, He's supposed to be the same now.
Amen.
The only difference is He's using your body instead of His own body.
That's right.
He sent the same Spirit to be in us.
Exactly.
When Brother Perry Green started that church, I love how Brother Graham said it. He said he started with nothing but an inspiration from God. And that's all I felt. It's something that came to me 4 something years ago now. 4 and a half probably going. God showed me. I believe in visions. Amen. Do we believe in those? Okay, amen. God showed me in a building at the front. I wasn't even preaching yet. I thought maybe I might one day, but I don't believe in presuming either. You wait on the leading of the Lord. He'll tell you the right time.
Sure, that's right.
And I saw myself standing there at the podium. I saw my brother. He's not here tonight, but I saw him at the back. I go, well, that was interesting. I wonder what that was all about. And the clearest you can hear my voice, Truth Tabernacle. So God already provided the name. He told me what I'd be doing. That wasn't for 4 years later, though. Sometimes, you know, we get a little hasty on the gun. You know, God showed me something. I must go do it now. No, wait on the Lord. He'll show you the right time. But when the inspiration comes to start, I went out. Okay? Amen. We must follow the leading of the Lord. As Brother Branham said there, even sometimes your best friends think you're wrong. That's okay. As long as you have your heart right with God and God tells you to do something, you act upon it.
Amen.
Amen. As we read there in the scriptures, I'm going to go to a few scriptures here. I'm not going to be too long, so if you've got a little patience, you can bear with me this morning. Amen. The church isn't the building. It's the people. We're called to be the church. We're called to be the tabernacle of God. And I'd like to turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Starting at the first verse. Hebrews 10:1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they have not ceased to be offered, because the worshiper once purged should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there's a remembrance again of made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, speaking of Christ, he saith, sacrifices and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Amen. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God.
Amen.
And when we come into this place, we're not here to bring our daily sacrifice unto God that, you know, Christ, you need to die for my sins again. If you accepted the atonement, as we've been preaching for about the whole time we've been at this church, if you've accepted that Jesus Christ has died for your sins, and you've been born again of the Spirit of God, and the living God lives in you, you're here because you're the body of Christ now.
That's right,
you're the body that Christ is indwelling to live his life out of.
That's right, amen.
We're not here to oh God, you know, I need you to forgive me again. You know, I messed up. Well, yeah, you did, but did you accept it the first time?
Amen.
Come on,
amen.
Amen. You're the body of Christ.
Amen.
Brother Branham said we're here to back up the ministry. Now, I want to make sure I'm clear on that. That don't mean you follow me unreservedly now, okay? Brother Andrew makes mistakes. And if I make a mistake, you don't say, I'm going to follow Brother Andrew in his mistake because I'm supposed to follow the ministry. No. No, you follow the Word of God.
Amen.
And as I follow Christ, as I trust you, as Paul said, as I follow Christ, follow me. So as long as you see me preaching the Word of God, and it's coming to pass, and showing that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, you follow that. If something gives off, I'll tell you what, even if you hear me say something wrong, I got no problems with you coming to me and telling me. And I ain't saying that to be prideful either. I'll make mistakes. I'm a human being. Anybody else human this morning?
Come on.
Anybody else make mistakes?
Come on.
All right, then don't look at me any different. I'm a preacher, but that don't mean nothing. Preachers are humans too. Preachers do the same thing. And actually, we usually go through a little bit more. Because we got to get up here and tell you how to overcome. So we had to go through it first. I had to happen when I preached two laws within the believer. You all remember that? Some of you that were here. Two laws within the believer. We got the law of sin and the law of God. And they fight within the believer. And I had to go through the fight. And go, why did I fail here? It says the law of sin in your body. I said, well, how do I overcome? The law of God that's in your body. And I said, amen, I can preach this now. I'm not going to bring nothing I ain't got a revelation of. I'll just leave it alone. All right, if I don't get it, I'm not going to delve in there and go, well, you know, maybe it's supposed to be this. No, I'm going to tell you what I've experienced. God is a healer. God is a savior.
Amen.
And he's still alive today as he was 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
And forevermore.
Amen.
He said, I died once and I rose again and I'm alive forevermore.
Amen.
Amen. As Brother Branham said, he was so hungry to see the Spirit of God moving, just like when he was first saved. And as I read that, I thought the same thing. All that first time when you give your heart to the Lord, you get baptized in his name, you come up refreshed, a new person in Christ. You look at yourself, you were walking this way in the way of the world, the way of sin, and something turned you around and give you power to overcome it. Woo! Makes you want to jump and scream and have a fit. And sometimes, you know, the years start rolling on and we start losing that. It becomes just like in a marriage a lot of times. If you don't watch, you'll lose your romantic part of your love life. And once that's happened, you might as well just be buddies because you ain't married no more in how you act. You just live in the same house. You got to keep that fire there.
Amen.
That love, that intimacy. I can't say the word now. Intimacy between you and your wife, well, what would it be any different with Christ? Amen. If we're not fueling on the Word of God, we're not getting that fire within us like we should be, your love life will go down with the Lord. Amen. He won't be able to come down in the cool of the evening as we spoke of in the book of Genesis. When He came down in fellowship with Adam and Eve, we're supposed to be restored back to that. Amen. That when we go to prayer, we can feel His presence. Because He's the same. He's still alive. When we walk into the house of God, like I said earlier, we're not here just to have a good time and hear a good sermon. We're here to see the Spirit of God come down.
That's right.
And to prove that He's still alive. That He can discern the thoughts and intents of your heart.
Amen. Amen.
He knows what you're thinking.
Amen.
He knows whether you're thinking about lunch right now.
Amen.
Say, Brother Andrew, can you wrap this up? I'm a little hungry.
Come on.
He knows you're thinking that.
Come on.
We need to come in the house of God with a God conscious.
Amen.
That God does see everything I hear. Everything I think, everything I say, everything I do, He's already saw it. He knows all about it. So there ain't no point coming here with some front.
Amen.
You know, wowsy me. And get in church, hey, God bless you, brother. Put on some front. No, let's be real. Let's be real Christians. When you walk in, you got to recognize if you're Christian, born in the Spirit of God, as Brother Branham said that, I'm trusting you're all Christians. I trust the same this morning. I'm not really the judge of that. Christ is the one that knows. But I'm trusting you are. And when you come in, you need to have the joy of the Lord on your face. I know we got hard things we go through, but Christ already knew about that. And when you start thinking about at the end of this, we think of the rapture coming. We think of those loved ones that's passed. Anybody have a loved one that passed on? I do. I got a grandma and grandpa that's on the other side. And every day, and especially when I start thinking, because I didn't get to meet my grandma, so I don't have quite the intimate relationship with her. But when I think of my grandpa sometimes, and you know when he's here, you don't think nothing of it. You know, grandpa lives down the road. You go see him once in a while. He takes you out to eat, pays for everything. You know, that's what grandpas do. That's what we knew grandpa buy. You need something, call him up. He'll buy it for you, whatever. He don't care. The second he's gone, you just go, you know, I wish I could have saw him more. You know, he was just down the road. Why didn't I go see him? But I tell you what, when we can put ourselves in the other lane, where you don't have to worry about saying bye, there ain't no bye. There ain't no such thing as see you later. It's we're here. We've arrived. Amen. When I think of that, it takes all the fear away. It takes all the hardship of life away. When you can think of what Christ has freely given to us. And look, yeah, we got benefits over there, but we got benefits right now.
Sure.
The joy of the Lord is our strength.
Amen.
And you need to have that joy in there. And if there ain't joy, yeah, I question whether you're born in the Spirit of God. There should be something in here. That even when you go through the hardest trial, even when your life's falling apart, there's something to keep you.
Amen.
Love one another. The great message of the Bible, love one another. You want to fulfill the laws of God? Love one another. Put yourself in the other guy's shoes. Just as Christ did for us.
Amen.
Stand for God's people. Stand for His Word. Don't be us for no more. As I said earlier, you be a witness. If you see a person that's dying in sin, you need to put yourself in where that man's going. You need to really evaluate, hey, I'm working with this guy. You know, I have 140 students I'm with every day. How many of them are going to heaven? I would say right now, most of them wouldn't make it. They don't know Christ in a saving relationship. And if I don't take it count every day, that if I don't say something, they might go off. They might be dead tomorrow. You might not make it out of here this service.
Come on.
I mean, God have mercy if that would happen, but we could walk right out there and some maniac was go look at Connecticut. Go look at what's going on now. Somebody just walk right in here and just decide to blast everyone. That's the age we're living in. People are insane. And you're not guaranteed another second. Who's to say you're not going to have a heart attack right now and it'll be all over?
Come on, man.
You know, even as a young man, it's kind of hard to realize that death is always an intimate option.
Right.
It's always right there in front of you. But thanks be to God that we can have the victory. We can know we're saved.
Amen.
We can know by the witness of the Holy Ghost coming into your life.
Come on.
That's how you know.
Amen.
We're living off this message. This is food to my soul.
Amen.
Every day I live, I believe we should be in it. We are the body of Christ, we are His ambassadors, and we are bringing a message. An ambassador stands for a country and goes to another country to represent that country. And we're pilgrims and strangers down here, but we came from the kingdom of heaven. Because if you're saved now, God knew you were always saved in His mind. He already had this whole thing planned out. Now, He didn't make your choices for you, but He knew what choice you'd make. And if you could accept Him, that means you're always saved.
Amen.
And if you can have faith in that, you don't got to worry about nothing no more.
Amen.
You can walk in victory.
Amen.
We need to bring God's message to this dying world. Amen. Let's turn to one more scripture just to throw that down, and we'll wrap up here shortly. Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 29. Actually, 28. Let's start at 28. I don't know why I do this. Let's go back 25. Okay. I get looking at it, and I go, well, that last one before that's pretty good. And before I know it, I'm all the way back at the top. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, for that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we... Now look, put your name in there. We is all of us. We are members of his body, amen, of his flesh, and of his bones. Amen. For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen. You need to look at Christ not as some dictating Lord way up here, amen, you little peon servant down
That's
here.
Right,
that's not what we just read. He said, I speak a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And what did he just get done talking about? A husband and a wife.
That's right, amen.
To think of where Eve came from all the way back in the beginning. She wasn't even existing. There's just Adam standing there.
Amen. Amen.
But inside of Adam,
amen,
was his wife.
Amen.
And God cut open Adam, took a rib out, and out of that same material made another being.
Amen. Amen.
And who's that? And Adam was made in God's image, which means God was the same way.
Amen.
And when God was made flesh, he came down as Jesus Christ. You want to know what God would have done in certain situations? You go read about Christ. That's exactly what God would have done, because it was God.
Amen.
God tabernacled in a human being.
Come on.
Amen.
To think of a man walking perfect.
Come on.
Be hard for him to be your brother, wouldn't he?
Come on.
Everybody's in the family. They got that one perfect brother. But this brother was perfect. He never made a mistake.
Amen.
But you wonder why things happened in the Bible. He went to the cross, died for our sins, to redeem us back to God. And redeem means to be brought back, which means we were with God in one way before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
And God has brought us back to himself.
Amen.
Why did they pierce him in the side?
Come on.
Amen.
Where do you think they cut Adam? Where do you think God cut Adam when he brought out Eve?
Come on.
The same spot that Roman centurion pierced the side of Jesus. Because when Jesus died, it released the bride of Christ out of him.
Amen. Amen.
He said, who's the bride of Christ? His church.
Amen.
Those born again of the Spirit of God. You, we are members of his body.
Amen.
Members of his flesh.
Amen.
Bone of his bone.
Amen.
Life of his life. Power
Amen.
Of his power.
Amen.
Amen.
She is him.
Amen.
Amen.
If you're reading the Bible, Eve wasn't even called Eve in the beginning.
Come on.
She was Adam.
That's right. Amen.
The Bible says their name was Adam.
Amen.
Both man and woman.
Amen.
You can say my wife's name's Ellie. I say it's Kressel.
Amen.
She took on my name when we were married.
Amen.
And if you're born again in the Spirit of God, you're married to Christ.
Amen.
He becomes your husband. You are his wife.
Amen.
Go on. Amen.
Woo! If we get a revelation of that. I tell you what, there's no fear.
Come on.
My husband created the universe.
Yeah.
He loves me.
Amen. Come on.
And we think, oh, you know, the Bible just told us that a man should love his wife as himself. Well, we don't think God would do it that way. No, God lets us go through the ringer. God lets us feel like things are wrong, but won't tell us what they are.
Come on.
What kind of loving husband would that be? Wife, you're not eating all week, but I'm not telling you what you did.
Come on.
Isn't that the truth, though?
Yes, sir. Amen.
You ever got down in prayer and go, man, Lord, I just feel like I don't feel your presence like I'm supposed to. Like you're supposed to. Who came up with the standard?
Come on.
Where'd you get that in the Bible? You might have gotten the almanac, but not in the Bible.
Come on. Come on.
Amen.
This always happens, Brother Josh. You know, as preachers, we just want to get up, say something, you know, and just get down. It just never works out that way.
Amen.
Just the Lord knows how to deal with people's hearts, I suppose.
Amen.
But as we're here to dedicate, as you read there, there was a little gap in there because Brother Peregrine actually preached in that service, and they came back and they had asked the brothers to come up and pray for Brother Perry. Now, you know, these brothers obviously aren't here. They've passed on. Brother Perry's still here, but not Brother Branham. But I like the same thing today. I'd say the elder brothers, Brother Kent, my dad, and Brother Andrews, Brother Tom. I know you're a year older than me, but that's all right. Come on up here. And actually, any brother that'd like to come up here, I'd like to dedicate myself first. In the eyes of the people that I'm here to give myself to the Lord, whatever He'd want. I'm going to go ahead and pull this back. We'll come up right here in front of this. I'll have Dad lead in prayer. And everybody together, but I'm here to dedicate myself. We can all join together. Dad, you can take over at this point.
Would you join me in prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask that you would
lift him up to you.
First of all, forgive us of where our sins are, and that you, being the great creator of heaven and earth, the author of every life, and the giver of every good, and every gift. We know that each person has a gift that they receive
to put off the old man even more every day. This is my flesh every day with the lust of
pastor, to preach, to lead a flock.
We ask every bit of mercy on him, but it's you.
Lord, and now let him get into himself.
That his prayers cry would be less of me and more of you, Lord Jesus. That his life's cry and manners would say that I may decrease so that Christ may increase. Lord, that his life would be so overflowing with the Holy Ghost that people would have to wait into the presence of the Lord when they come to him, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, yes.
That he would never worry about whether he was on his knees, laid on his back. He would fight till the death.
Yes, Lord,
for the kingdom of Jesus.
Stand firm,
Lord Jesus. Yes, may his mind be anointed underneath your great presence, Lord Jesus. May each one of us, Lord, supporting Father in prayer, in fasting, and everything that we can do to show that we are part of this group that's going into rapture one day, and that we're going to be with Jesus Christ, and to be a signpost to everyone we meet. Anointing that we ask,
you led him in the right way. Lord, let him cling to that. Let him cling to your spirit and your leading, Lord. And may, Lord Jesus Christ, I dedicate my brother to you, and you, Lord Jesus Christ, and I give him to you. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's stand together. As I said earlier, Brother Kent's already decided to rededicate himself. We'll be baptizing him in here in a second, back in the room over there. If there's anyone else, maybe you're not even rededicating yourself. Maybe you just want to dedicate yourself for the first time to the Lord. I don't believe that a man has the ability to do that, but if you'd like to have prayer, you can come forward too. We'll pray with you. If there's a need of healing or anything like that, I don't believe any service of God we should leave with needs. I think we should go with faith that God has given us what we have need of. We should come, bring our needs, and lay them down before Christ, and He should provide, because He promised to. So if you have a need, that's fine. You can come forth. We'll pray with you. If not, I'd like to just sing a few songs. I had a few on my heart, Ben. I'm trying to remember exactly where it was at. A little bit joyous singing, but I think it's good sometimes to be happy in the Lord for what He's done for us. Amen?
Amen.
Let's turn to 54. You got your books there. I might need another drink.
The windows of heaven are open. The blessings are falling tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in my heart. Since Jesus makes everything right, I gave him my old tattered garments. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and why I'm happy tonight.
Sing that again.
The windows of heaven are open. The blessings are falling tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in my heart. And Jesus makes everything right.
Yes, Lord.
I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven.
Sing that one more time with all hearts now. Let's give him praise. Hallelujah, Lord.
The windows of heaven are open. The blessings are falling tonight. Joy in my heart, for Jesus makes everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Depending on how long this might take, we've had Brother Josh come all the way from Illinois, and Brother Aaron here. We sure appreciate it. Let's give them a hand clap.
Thank you, Lord.
I think it'd be a little dewy if I give Brother Josh an opportunity to maybe share something that the Lord's done for him in his life. You know, we're not going to always see him all too often. We don't know the way things are going now, if we'll get another chance. Maybe next time I see Brother Joshua, he'll be in a glorified body. And I'm okay with that. But I might miss him in between there. So, Brother Joshua, would you like to come up and give a testimony real quick? You can be seated if it's going to be too long.
Do you mind if I read some scriptures, brother?
That's okay, brother. You just do. And then we'll be on our way right after this.
There's some things that really came to me while Brother Andrew Chu was talking. He was saying that, you know, Jesus was pierced in the rib. And it said that he's pierced under the fifth rib, right? Five is grace.
Amen.
The bride comes under grace.
Yes.
Amen. Another point was that when he was talking about the husband and the wife, and it's not a king and a pauper, the story of Cinderella came to me.
Amen.
And it's such a pretty story.
Sure,
but what we don't realize is that Prince Charming didn't even know her name. He didn't ask about her. He didn't know about her. She was just another pretty face in the room. And that's what made him decide he wanted her. But God doesn't go on the outside. He doesn't go on an external.
That's
Look, Prince Charming was going after a pauper. God doesn't go after a pauper. He goes after himself.
Amen. 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 Amen.
When I was 8 years old. Actually, let's pray first. Lord Jesus, thank you for everything you've done.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Everything you've laid on our hearts, Lord. I myself, I just want to rededicate myself.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Lord, to your purpose. That every room in my heart would be dedicated to you, to the function of your kingdom. Lord, I yield myself right now. It may just be a testimony, it may just be a few words, Lord, but let them be your words.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
And for the furtherance of your kingdom. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen, amen.
A lot of times we get around people and we just see what we see in that area, and we don't have the knowledge, and we don't understand what they've gone through. We don't understand who they used to be. So we don't understand, and we don't realize the change in their life. And Brother Andrew asked me to give a testimony, and there were so many things that I immediately thought of and went back to and tried to figure out what, you know, I should give as a testimony. But as I realized that little battles and little victories, yes, they add to the overall victory of the war. But the thing that really sticks out the most is I couldn't have had those victories in my life without him having victory over me.
Amen.
Without having victory over the sin in my life.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
When I was 8 years old. An older boy in the neighborhood did things to me. And I'm not going to go too far into this because mixed audiences and young children may not understand this, but we as adults would understand this. Things were done to me in such a way that Satan was trying to corrupt me, was trying to twist me, and trying to break my spirit.
Sure.
As we went over yesterday, he was trying to change my name. He was trying to change, make me submit and change my name before God.
Sure.
And under that, because that was a taskmaster, like we said yesterday.
Praise God. Yes, sir.
I went into pornography. I went into drinking and smoking and doing drugs and alcohol at the age of 14. My father died of cancer. Now you take the youngest son of a man. The firstborn always has the most attention because he is the one that the father takes under his wing and teaches him.
Come on, brother.
And if you look at family patterns, the first one's always the most successful financially. Approximately, generally. He is usually the most to go out and get a good job and do what we think, you know, work hard, get a college degree, and be successful.
Come on.
The second one is always usually very flamboyant. He's very expressive. He's very, you know, because he has to vie for attention from his father.
Yeah.
Amen. The third kind of floats. And then the last one's always artistic and doesn't know where they stand. They don't, so they have the limitless ability to really go out of bounds. And they're always thought of as weirdos and extremists. Because they already know they're not the firstborn. And they're not going to get the attention of the secondborn. And what's left over is given to the third. They'll just do their own thing. Amen? So here I am. And yet, even in my little boyish heart at the age of 14, I still craved my father's attention. I still wanted to be approved.
Yes.
And yet that was taken away from me. And yet when I was seeing him laying, his life being whittled away, my second oldest brother came back from the Marines, and he had his uniform on. And the Marines' dress blue uniform is one of the most impressive military dress blues there is.
Sure.
The Marines is, if you do not realize this, it is in its own elite corps.
Right.
It was crafted from the Navy. It was like, you know, the Rangers of the Navy. And then they branched out and created their own branch. Okay. And as a little boy, I saw that my father's eyes light up and the pride in his face. So I thought, oh, that's it. That's how I'll do it. I'll go join the Marines.
Sure.
At the age of 16, two years after my dad had died, we stopped going to church. I was in drugs, drinking, alcohol, parties, girls, rock and roll. In such a way that you would think, okay, well, this is what he's talking about. I'm not talking about this. I'm talking about even worse. More things than you could even imagine. You know, I was talking to a brother last night. He said, brother, I was very good at being a heathen. I was very excellent at being a heathen. I was the type of person that you would not want to bring home to mama. That you wouldn't even want to be seen around. You wouldn't want your mother, your father, to see you around me. And yet I was very good at hiding it because I'd come home and I would be the angel.
Right. Yes, sir.
But when I was 16, I was so devoid. I remember hanging out with some friends one time. And we were all high up. God just, you know, we just smoked some dope. And that was how I got my joy at that time, was dope and alcohol. I remember I get visions not anything, doesn't make me any better than anyone. It's just what God gives me. I don't make them up.
That's right.
And for those of you who read the message and read Brother Branham's testimony of him being a little boy and falling into the pits of hell in his vision, I didn't come into the message, I didn't hear about that until years later after this. I was coming off my high, and I was laying there, and I broke into a vision. And I started, and I was falling. And I remember crying out to everyone. My mother, my father, my friends. And then I started crying out for God, and there was still no answer. And it ended, and I knew that I had to do something. There was no hope. So when I was 16 years old, I arrive at church. And the wonderful thing is, I was at such an end of my rope that I didn't want to live. I had battled with spirits of depression my whole entire life. My mother said, "Why don't we go to church?"
Amen.
And I thought, well, maybe, just maybe, God will have something for me. Amen. Drugs don't help me. Alcohol doesn't help me. Girls don't help me. I had to hit rock bottom.
That's right.
So I go to church. And I don't hear a single thing the pastor says. Brother Andrew just said something about, he had made mention about, you were already saved.
Come on, brother.
I was sitting there, and I broke into another dimension. Or rather, I was pulled into another dimension, I'll say. And there was the love of God. He didn't say, "Hi, my name's God," or "My name's Jesus," or "Hey, how are you?" He said, "It's time to come home."
Man.
You see, the point is, I had a home already that I wasn't in.
Hallelujah.
And he was calling me back to that place. Where was my home? It was in Christ.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Romans 6 says, now I'm reading from a different translation. Verse 3. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death.
Amen.
In order, as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life.
Amen.
It's not that God took my life and renewed it. He took my life, threw it away, and gave me his.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Amen. Praise be to God.
Amen. Amen. I'm trying not to preach. All right, brother.
It's all right.
For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death,
yes,
certainly we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection.
Thank you, Jesus.
Knowing this, that your old self crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin.
Amen.
It didn't matter how dark and drear I went. I had a home. It doesn't matter what mistakes we do. We have a home.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what choices we make. We have a home.
Amen.
And that home doesn't go away.
Thank you, Jesus.
For Christ is that home. How can you do away with Christ?
Sure.
Amen.
That following weekend, I got baptized and try not to break into preaching. So you just have mercy on me. But it was another 4 years until I came to know the message. And the Lord, use situations to do that. But the thing is, I wasn't in a message church when he came to me and talked to me. I wasn't in a message church when, you know, I didn't know about a prophet. I didn't know about a message. I didn't know any of this. But that didn't matter to God.
That's all right. Come on. Come on, brother.
That's His love.
Thank you, Jesus.
So don't give up on your families.
Amen. That's right.
Don't give up on your friends.
No, sir.
Pray for them continually.
Amen.
Ephesians 6. 13. 12, actually. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the armor of God that you may be able to resist the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which we'll be able to extinguish, listen to this, all the flaming missiles of the evil one. Because when a missile hits, it explodes.
That's right.
We need to learn to use our faith to extinguish them before they even get to us.
Amen.
And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, with all prayer and petition. Pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all saints. Because you have a home.
Yes, Lord.
You've always had a home. Don't slack. Don't go looking for phantoms to fight either. Just because you're wearing armor doesn't mean you're told to go out and find something.
That's right.
There's no. What's it say? Stand firm, therefore.
That's good.
You're not supposed to chase specters in your life.
That's it, brother.
Stand firm. Be at the ready. What does the Bible say in another place? You are a watchman on a watchtower.
Yes.
The watchman is not a spy that goes out into the enemy's land. He watches his own land.
Amen.
Because when you are busy looking at the enemy, you can't pay attention to God.
It's good.
Uh-oh. Oh, my Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, brother. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, man. I'll stop there. Make sure you're not chasing after specters. Be encouraged. You have a home.
Hallelujah.
You have a God that knows every thought that you've ever had, every thought you're going to have.
That's right.
And trials will come because you need to manifest a certain type of character.
Amen. Grant it, Lord. Amen. Yes, Lord Jesus.
Amen. That's right. And it doesn't matter where you are. If you're a child of God, you're a child of God.
Amen. Yes, sir.
God doesn't plant wheat expecting corn.
That's right.
My sister here, when she was pregnant, she didn't expect anything but a baby. She expected a healthy baby.
That's right.
When you're saved,
that's right, brother.
Expect the rapture. That's
Amen.
What surrapturing faith is.
Amen. That's good.
Yes, sir.
That's good. Amen.
We don't get saved and then focus on the world.
That's right.
That's right.
We get saved to focus what? Look up.
Yes, sir.
For your redemption, draw nigh. Paul said, I am leaving those things that are behind, pressing towards
the
mark.
Amen. Praise be to God.
Brother, you're going to have to stop me. Yeah, you're just going to have to come up here.
All right, praise God. Let's give the Lord a hand. A little different service than bear with us, right, this morning. Amen. Let's just sing one more song as we get ready to leave. We'll have our baptismal service here in a second after we get done.
Go ahead. I figure we worship a little bit before we get going, and you'll be dismissed. Let's sing that old time religion. How's that sound?
Number 30
together. I believe in the old time religion. The religion that saved our brother Josh, that saved us. Amen.
It's that old time Holy Spirit, and the devil won't go near it. That's the reason people fear it. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. It will make you stop your lying. It will save you when you're dying. It will start the death.
Glory to God.
It's good enough for me. So give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. It's so good I want no other. For it makes me love my brother. And it keeps things from undercover. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough.
Sing, makes me love everybody.
Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me.
It'll do you when you're dying.
It'll do you when I'm dying. It will do when I'm dying. It will do when I'm dying. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion.
It'll take us all to heaven. Hallelujah.
It will take us all to heaven. It will take us all to heaven. It will take us all to heaven. It's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me.
Ask Brother Kent, go ahead and dismiss himself back there. Go ahead and prepare. We're going to have a baptismal service. So, normal service, you're dismissed, and we'll take care of that here in a minute. God bless you all. Amen.